Oh, I can get so much out of knowing your personality type and the personality types of the people you care about. You can understand your own strengths and weaknesses. You can understand the strengths and weaknesses of the people you care about. You can communicate more effectively.
Welcome to the Introvert Dear Podcast, the show devoted to helping introverts live more peaceful, meaningful lives. We are here to remind you that you don't have to be an extrovert to be happy. Now, here are your hosts, Jen Graneman and Bo Miller.
Hi, fellow introverts. Today, we're talking about personality types and the Myers-Briggs personality system. Have you seen those letters such as INFJ or ISTJ? Well, those are personality types, and each four-letter code stands for a different one. There are introverted types and extroverted types, but we're going to focus on the introverted ones. If you don't already know what your personality type is, we'll tell you where you can go to find out about it. And I particularly love this topic because I'm a certified Myers-Briggs practitioner and a big fan of personality. And also on the show today, we are really excited to have Susan Storm as a guest. Susan is behind the blog psychologyjunkie.com. She founded it and she writes all about introvert and extrovert personality types, and she helps people of all kinds understand themselves. She's also the author of The INFJ, Understanding the Mystic, and Tranquility by Type, Stress Relief Tips for Your Unique Personality Type. So we're super excited to hear from her and to glean from her expertise. Susan, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Our pleasure. How did you find out you were an introvert, and how did that knowledge change your life?
Well, I was unusual in that I grew up in a family where we knew, like my parents knew the difference between introversion and extroversion. And they could tell pretty early on that I was an introvert. So it was something I grew up hearing a lot because I was so introverted, and I had two extroverted parents, and I had two of my siblings were extroverts. So it was a pretty obvious contrast in my family. And so as I grew up, I knew I was able to, you know, they were able to let me know that that was what I was. And it just,
So I love the Myers-Briggs system because despite some of its limitations, it can be a really powerful tool to help you understand yourself better. And not only that, but the people around you. When I first learned about being an INFJ personality type, which I know Bo is one and Susan, you're one as well. So this is like an INFJ party.
Absolutely.
It just really changed the way I saw myself. And it also helped me understand that people thought a little differently than me. And so ultimately, it helped me in my relationships. So Susan, according to the Myers-Briggs personality system, what are some of the major distinctions between introverts and extroverts?
The main distinction is that introverts draw inward to get their energy and extroverts draw outward to get their energy. So introverts are energized by introspection, by getting into their heads and thinking about ideas and reflecting, whereas extroverts are more energized by interaction. So talking, activity, projects, anything that gets them engaged with the outside world. Those are the two main differences between introverts and extroverts. Some other little things you might notice is that extroverts are more likely to think out loud, whereas introverts are more likely to think for a while, reflect, and then speak. Extroverts are more likely to jump right into action with the outside world, especially as children, they jump right into things, whereas introverts are more likely to want to wait and watch a little bit first. Extroverts are doers. They like to get out and, like we said before, just take action, whereas introverts are more reflective. They can be happy just sitting in a room and thinking for a long time. So extroverts can be a little bit more action-oriented sometimes, and introverts are usually a little bit more on the reflective side.
I can definitely resonate with that. I could think on ad infinitum forever and forever. Can you describe a few of the special gifts and abilities introverts contribute to society at large?
Definitely. Introverts and extroverts both have their place, and they both have different gifts and skills that they bring to the table. Introverts are good at kind of pausing and reflecting before charging forward on decisions and things like that. So, you know, in careers and the workplace and things like that, they tend to be more cautious and reflective before jumping forward into a decision. They're good at just, you know, They often are good listeners. Now, extroverts can be good listeners too, but introverts in general, as a general rule, are often good listeners. They take in what people say, and they're good at drawing out ideas from people, taking their time, focusing. And one of the things in Myers-Briggs theory that they say a lot is that extroverts are life generalists and introverts are life specialists. Introverts tend to be very focused on a particular field and really get in depth with that particular field of interest. And so they can, you know, bring about a lot of new discoveries and insights that the world needs to hear about.
Ooh, I like that. Generalist versus specialist. That's really good.
Yeah, so, absolutely. And I don't want to, you know, bash on extroverts, because I think that extroverts have a lot to bring to the table too, and definitely can have their areas of where they specialize in certain things too. But it just, as a general rule, these are certain traits that tend to be noticeable with introverts versus extroverts.
Yeah, I think that's good to point out that we're talking kind of in wide swaths and in general terms. I know some extroverts who are great listeners, and I know some introverts who, you know, kind of zone out when you're trying to talk to them. It does vary a lot on the individual, but you're right. These are kind of traits in general. So
right. If you're looking at statistics.
Yeah. So here's a question I get asked a lot. People say, can an introvert be an extrovert too? I'm really curious to hear your take on that and what the Myers-Briggs system has to say about that.
Well, ambiversion, or a lot of people call it ambiversion, the idea of being like both introverted and extroverted, I can understand why a lot of people feel that way. And in the Myers-Briggs system, there's no ambiversion. You're either an introvert or an extrovert. But everyone has, and this is where I have to go into some of the deeper Myers-Briggs stuff, every type has introverted and extroverted tendencies. So like if you are an INFJ like you are, Jen, then you introvert intuition and you introvert thinking, but you extrovert feeling and sensing. And that's going to be really confusing if you're a beginner to type. But Myers and Briggs say that basically you have certain qualities and functions that you are internalizing, and your most preferred processes are introverted. But there's still some things that you use in an extroverted way. Everyone has to, like even extroverts get tired from tons of socializing and they need to go have some alone time. And even introverts like to have friends and socializing now and then. It's not about never wanting to be around people or always wanting to be around people. It's about what do you prefer most? Just like, and I think Bo's used this example, just like you have a preferred hand and you try to, like if you tried to write with your left hand and you're right-handed, it's going to come, it's going to be sloppy. In the same way, if you're an introvert, you can still you can still engage with people and talk with people and enjoy socializing from time to time, but it's not going to be your preferred process. So you might, after a while, it's going to tire you out. In the same way, an extrovert being alone, every once in a while, they're going to want their alone time, their peace and quiet, but over time, it will start to wear them out. So everyone does, even Carl Jung, kind of the founder of personality psychology, said that no one is a 100% extrovert or 100% introvert. Such a person would be in a lunatic asylum. So everyone is a little bit of both, but you prefer one over the other. So according to Myers-Briggs theory, you are an introvert or an extrovert. You're not both, but you're still going to have times as an introvert where you want a social life and to talk with people, and you're going to have times as an extrovert where you want to be alone. I hope that I didn't answer that in too confusing of a way.
No, I think that's super clear and helpful. And I really appreciate that, because I think that's one of the biggest challenges. In a minute, I'm going to ask you about some of the benefits. But, you know, you find out your type if you're listening to this and you haven't found it out yet, or maybe you already have taken the test and you're like, well, this is interesting and I resonate with some of these things, but it's just missing the mark on some other things. Just knowing that, you know, you can manifest as an extrovert or as an introvert is super helpful, and you start to get yourself better and feel like it's a better description of you. So I think that's really helpful, Susan. And what are some of the benefits for, you know, someone who's hearing about this for the first time or maybe has done it before and is sitting on the fence? Is it worth it? And what can you get out of it?
Oh, you can get so much out of knowing your personality type and the personality types of the people you care about. You can understand your own strengths and weaknesses. You can understand the strengths and weaknesses of the people you care about. You can communicate more effectively. For example, if you're an introvert and you're friends with an, or you're married to an extrovert, you can understand that when they're trying to get you to socialize and you know, when they need to be around you all the time, they're not trying to bother you. That's just the way that they get their energy. And they can learn that, you know, when you need your alone time, it's not personal. They don't need to get offended about it. It's not that you don't care about them, but that you need your energy. So knowing about personality type can really help to make relationships so much better, because you just have to avoid so many misunderstandings, whether it's a romantic relationship, a friendship, a family relationship, a parenting and child relationship. It just helps you to kind of understand where that other person is coming from, where you're coming from, and you can really grow as a person through knowing about your type.
I love that. I think that's one of my favorite things. One of the other favorite things about personality type is that it helps you get your strengths and really see a path for growth, for making the most of your special gifts and abilities. So that I think they're, like you've said,
definitely,
there's a lot to get out of it.
Yeah. I mean, if you're a certain type, say you're an INFJ, or I keep bringing up INFJ, but say you're an INFJ, INFP, whatever it is, and you grew up in a family of ESTJs, you might feel like there's something wrong with you because you don't fit into your family's type culture. You don't, everyone's behaving and making decisions in a way that's different than the way you would. And you might start thinking, oh, there's something wrong with me. I need to be more like them. And I'm, you know, I'm inadequate in some way. And then when you learn about personality types, you can look at yourself and go, oh, I'm not inadequate. There's something wrong with me. I'm just different. And now I can actually start to really work with what I have instead of trying to change and be something different than who I am.
So let's dive a little deeper into the Myers-Briggs system. So each personality type has a four-letter code. And the second letter of every personality type is either an N or an S. And that N stands for intuitive, and the S stands for sensing or sensor. So Susan, could you talk to us a little bit about the differences between intuitives and sensors?
Yes, definitely. So I'll start by talking about sensing. It's more common. There's many more sensors in the U.S. population than intuitives. According to the Myers-Briggs Foundation, sensors make up 73.4% of the population, and wow, intuitives make up 26.6%. So chances are you're going to run into more sensors than intuitives just, you know, in your day-to-day life. So we'll start by talking about sensing. The focus of the sensing type is on what they gather with their five senses. Now, that doesn't mean that intuitives don't use their five senses. They walk into walls and don't taste food. You know, everyone has to use their five senses.
I totally have walked into, like, my wife makes fun of me all this time because she's a, and you'll learn about this later if you get into type, she's a dominant sensor. She's a really strong sensor, and I'm a dominant intuitive as an INFJ. So like at night, I'll run into walls and stuff, and she likes the lights off because she can find a way around. So I totally do run into walls. Sorry, I just had to throw that in there.
Okay.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I live in an intuitive household, and we do things like bring the groceries home and leave a bag at the grocery store and have to go back. I mean, that happens. That's a regular thing that happens. Or, you know, we take the milk out of the bag and just put it in the closet because it kind of looks like laundry detergent. And oh, now the milk's spoiled.
Yes.
Oh, that feels so much better.
That's one thing that a lot of times you will notice about intuitives and sensors. And I know that's kind of going off onto a side topic, but there was actually a master practitioner. I think his name is Jean-Luc Dupont. I'm not 100% sure on that, but he's done a lot of studies on body language and type, and found that intuitives, you know, they're always in their heads kind of, and their body is just like an appendage attached to their brain more. when they're walking and doing things, they tend to be more clumsy. They tend to be more unaware of where they're going. They tend to kind of let their head lead the way, and their body just kind of follows along. Whereas sensors tend to, you know, walk with their feet like firmly on the ground. They walk with purpose. They have, you know where they're going, and more aware of where they are in space and where things are. And that is kind of a, yeah, it is. And that's one thing. I'm also married to a dominant sensor. I'm married to an ESTP, and he laughs at me a lot for in a nice way for all my little clumsy moments. So, but yeah, so sensing types are very aware of the details in, you know, the physical details of the world around them. The present, they tend to focus a lot on the present moment and what needs to be done right now. They focus on the concrete, tangible, verifiable data. They like facts. They tend to be realistic, practical people, very down to earth. And you'll notice when you're around a sensing type, they just have this, their feet are firmly planted on the ground. They focus on what they're working with right now. They tend to be resourceful and just really practical, down to earth people. And it's, they want to live in the real world. They want to, when they speak, they tend to speak in a very linear order. A happened, then B, then C, then D. Even in school, sensing children like very step-by-step sequential instruction. So even just from talking to a sensor, you can usually tell you're speaking to a sensor because they're going to speak in order. Their stories are going to have a start, a middle, and a finish. Whereas when you're talking to an intuitive, they tend to bounce around quite a bit more and go from one point to another. And but yeah, they tend to be more hands-on in the physical world because they're very in touch with the physical world and what's happening around them and their personal experience with it. The plus to being a sensor is that sensors tend to be aware of present realities and details, and they tend to notice, like, you know, what we're talking about is, as intuitives just a minute ago, you know, putting the milk in the closet because it's the same shape as the...
I won't tell you whether that was me or my partner, but I'll keep that secret to myself.
Oh, no, but it's something an intuitive would do because intuitives tend to see impressions of things, whereas sensors tend to see the details. And so as a sensor, like, I have many experiences like that being married to a sensor where I will lose something and I will literally have no idea where it could have been because I could have been thinking of something else and put, like, my iPhone in the refrigerator or, you know, like, because my mind was elsewhere. Whereas a sensor, like my ESTP husband, would never accidentally put his iPhone in the refrigerator. Like, it just would never happen. Like, that would be crazy because he's aware of the moment and aware of the details and what he's doing right now. And so sensors tend to have a good grasp of what's realistic and, you know, of what they're doing in the moment and those details that are important to see. So that's kind of the plus of being a sensor. The downside to being a sensor is that sometimes they miss seeing the forest for the trees. So they tend to tune into the details. They tend to be very aware of what's needed in the moment, or even their past impressions and personal experiences, but they can miss seeing the big picture and kind of zooming out of everything and seeing what's important in the, you know, the grand scheme of things. At times that can be more of a struggle for them, like making decisions that are going to impact them in 10 or 20 years or something like that. It's not that they're completely incapable of doing that at all. I always try to steer clear of black and white, you know, saying black and white things, because I mean, there are some sensors who, especially as they get older and develop intuition, become very good at tuning into the big picture. But in general, sensors are more about details than the big picture. So intuitive. So just like the sensor is very aware of concrete data and, you know, what is tangible and verifiable, intuitives are more aware of abstract connections, relationships, what lies behind the scenes. So when they look around them, they're less likely to see the details and more like to see just a general impression, and they're going to try to extrapolate meaning and potential from what they see. So they're, where a sensor would look at, I don't know, an apple and see what kind of apple it is, whether it's a sweet apple or a tangy apple or what they can do with the apple. An intuitive might look at an apple and think of, oh, apple is a symbol of temptation, or think about the Garden of Eden and, you know, Adam and Eve with the apple. Or they might think of, you know, organic farming and what's the state of the environment going to be in 30 years or something. You know, they might go off in this mental angle that has absolutely nothing to do with the actual apple in front of them, more to do with the some meaning they've extrapolated from the apple, if that makes any sense. So intuitives are always trying to figure out what's really going on here. They don't tend to take things at face value as much. So they're good at finding and seeing deeper hidden meanings and also just complex relationships and connections between things. So I kind of think of intuition sometimes as someone like standing on the edge of a cliff and looking down over the world and seeing all these little links between different relationships, different situations and experiences, and finding these kind of random connections and bits of meaning that you would only see from that vantage point, from that big picture perspective. I guess you could call it a type of metacognition. So intuitives are really good at picking up on underlying meanings. They tend to think more about the future than they do the present. So they're good at kind of analyzing, if I do this now, this will happen, in 10 or 20 years. Their minds, their focus is always on the future, whereas sensing types are more focused on the present. So the plus to being an intuitive is that you do tend to see things from these unusual angles and innovative perspectives. Intuitives like to do things in new and innovative ways. You can be very strategic because you're always focused on the future. You can find these strategic pathways to getting where you want to go. And intuitives are good at seeing something's potential or the possibilities in something. They might get really keen insights into how something's going to play out someday. The downside of being intuitive is kind of what we've covered a little bit. You might miss seeing the trees for the forest. Just like the sensor is at risk of not seeing the forest for the trees, the intuitive is at risk of not seeing the trees for the forest. They might get so caught up in these possibilities, ideas, abstract connections that they miss seeing what's right in front of them. In fact, as children, intuitives can sometimes seem almost ungrateful or, in one of these books I've been reading about childhood types, they were saying intuitive children can seem like they're always anticipating the next best thing. They're always anticipating the future. And so they can seem almost constantly and perpetually dissatisfied with what they have because they're always thinking about what they could have. And so whereas a sensing child is more likely to look at what do I have right now? What can I do with it? And be able to kind of tune into that present moment. The intuitive is more likely to always be thinking future, future, future. And so that's the kind of the downside to being an intuitive or the weakness that they do have. So both types, sensing and intuitive types, are incredible. They both have amazing gifts to bring to the table, and they both have some struggles that are unique to them. So I hope that helps differentiate between the two.
It totally does, and it's super great to hear the positives of both sides. What are some of the characteristics of introverted intuitive types?
Well, introverted intuitive types, these would be the IN types. So INTJs, INFJs, INTPs, INFPs. They are very imaginative people. And they, like we just talked about intuition, very focused on the big picture. They tend to really like to just be in their head, tinkering with ideas and possibilities. And what could happen if I do this? Or what will happen if I do that? Or what is this? I have this symbol that came into my head, and what does this mean for the future? Intuition is very abstract. It can be hard to explain in words that are, introverted intuitive types can sometimes just get this sense of knowing that they don't really know how to put into words, especially the INJ type, INFJs and INTJs, can get these hunches or these epiphanies that seem to come out of nowhere, and they don't really always know how to put them into words. But they have these really strong insights into the future and what will happen. And then usually with time, they kind of figure out why they have those insights. And then the INP types, so like INFPs and INTPs, are usually much more external with their ideas. So they like to brainstorm a lot and swap ideas back and forth with people. That's a lot of what you'll see in their communication. Whereas the INTJs and INFJs tend to tinker with ideas and possibilities more in an internal way. They'll usually won't be as vocal about their ideas. It's more of an introverted process. IN types are very analytical. They're very love to focus on theories, new ideas and possibilities. They take a lot of time to think things over before they make a decision. They are usually interested in philosophy, the big picture, the future, And as intuitive types, when they do speak, they do tend to bounce around a little bit more in their speech. So like we were talking about before, sensors tend to speak in a linear way, and the intuitives are going to be more jumping from one data point to some other random data point and making these kind of seemingly random connections between things. And I think I already said, but those four introverted intuitive types are the INFJ, the INTJ, the INSP, and the INTP. And so I don't know if you want me to go into detail about each of those or if you just wanted that general kind of overview of the IN types.
No, that overview is perfect. That's a super helpful start. So can you tell us now a little bit about some of the introverted sensing types?
Yeah, absolutely. So introverted sensing types, they're very private. They're very practical. They really enjoy doing like hands-on interaction, just like that. We talk a lot about interacting with the outside world as being an extroverted thing, but because introverted sensing types are very aware of like the tangible, verifiable world, a lot of times they enjoy doing things like gardening, baking, craftsmanship, spending time alone, working with their hands, working with nature, being in nature. They're very factual people. They like to focus on facts more than theories. One thing you'll notice if you're with an IN type versus an IS type is the IN type is going to be talking a lot about ideas and theories, and the IS type is going to be talking more about things that have actually happened in facts, and they're going to appear more down to earth. There's a meme that I saw once that showed an intuitive saying something like, "I've got this great plan to solve world hunger," and the sensor, it looks confused, and they're saying, "That's great, but what are we actually going to eat tonight?" So the sensing type is much more aware of, you know, what do we need to do right now, whereas the intuitive type is thinking, you know, way ahead and may forget, you know, what needs to be done right now. But sensing types really trust their personal experience, and they are always drawing on that experience and want to have more experiences. And actually, there was a scientist named Dario Nardi who conducted these brain imaging tests and found that sensing types, particularly introverted sensing types, enter a flow state when they envision their like favorite past experiences, whereas introverted intuitive types enter a flow state when they envision the future and what they would like to see happen in the future. So, one way to get an introverted sensing type talking and really enjoying themselves is to ask them about some of their favorite experiences and their expertise and things they favorite memories and things like that. So there's two different types of sensors. There's the ISPs, so ISFPs and ISTPs, and then there's the ISJs, which would be the ISFJs and the ISTJs. The SPs are going to be more spontaneous, impulsive, adventurous, risk-taking. And the SJs are going to be more structured, routine-oriented, and tend to like to have, know what to expect a little bit more, not quite as impulsive as the SP type. So there's different types of sensors, but one thing that they all have in common is that they're going to be very, very realistic people, and they're going to really enjoy like sharing their experiences with other people and interacting with the world in a hands-on way.
That's a super introduction to all of the introverted types, and I really appreciate that. So what's the best way for the listener to determine which of these types fits him or her?
Well, I think, you know, if you can, there's great websites like you're talking to, I mean, I'm talking now with you, Jen, from Introvert Dear. She's got a lot of articles about the different personality types. I know she just put up one about ISTJs, and she's also written about all of the introverted types. And I know, Bo, you've also written about many of the introverted types on your website. So there's a lot of online resources. If you want to really try to find an accurate description that fits you, then I think, you know, just doing some reading is really helpful. If you want a really good test, I do think personalityhacker.com has a good personality test that you can take. I don't usually promote the online tests too much because a lot of times they're they give inaccurate results. But that if you want a quick and easy test, then that one's probably the best free one you can find. But I would take those results with a grain of salt and try to do a little research. Like if you took an online test and you got an ISFJ result or something like that, really read that type description and see if it resonates with you. And if it doesn't, you know, try reading, you know, ISFP or INFJ and just try to make sure that you got it right. But there's some great online resources to help you to find your type. If you're trying to figure out whether you're just a sensor or an intuitive, then just look at what interests you. Are you more interested in doing things with what you have right now? Like, are you more of a hands-on, practical, realistic person? Is that kind of the image you have of yourself, of being really in tune with reality, really detail-oriented? Or are you somebody who's more, thinking ahead all the time, coming up with these imaginative possibilities and more focused on theories than factual data that you have right now? If that's more what you relate to, then you might be an intuitive type.
So there's a lot more that we could dive into when it comes to personality type. We have not yet talked about the feeling versus thinking dynamic or the judging versus perceiving dynamic. And those might be great topics for another episode. I'd love to get your take on those in the future.
Absolutely.
In your opinion,
those are a lot of fun to talk about.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I found the feeling versus thinking dynamic to be like one of the biggest data points that's helped me in my personal relationships, just because feelers versus thinkers, they respond to and react to things a lot differently.
Definitely. Knowing that difference can help a lot in relationships to avoid a lot of conflict, because there tends to be a lot of conflict between thinking and feeling types before they understand personality types. So that's a really good area to get into.
Yeah, exactly. And if you're listening to our show and you're feeling confused, like thinking versus feeling, what is that? The feeling is the F in the 4-letter code. Thinking is the T in the 4-letter code. And then similarly, judging is the J and perceiving is the P. When you take a personality type, you will be able to figure out which one of those things you are, thinking versus feeling or judging versus perceiving. So anyways, what do you think is the most important thing our listener should take away from today's show? We've covered a lot of ground, I know.
Oh, I just think you can understand, if you have the time to try to figure out your personality type, whether it's taking the free personality hacker test, whether it's talking to someone. I think, Bo, you do consultations, don't you? Or might be confused.
I have. I haven't done as many in recent times, but I have done in the past, yeah.
Yeah, there's Myers-Briggs practitioners out there who do consultations for people to really help them narrow down their type. And it's a good investment to make to really talk to a professional who can help you do that. Or even if you just want to do research online, finding out your type, and especially the type of your spouse or mom or dad or child, if you have the time to figure out whether you are an intuitive or a sensor, or your husband or wife is an intuitive or sensor, if you have the time to figure that out, then it can really deepen your relationships with other people. And you can see improvements really very quickly, because there are so many conflicts that happen in relationships that are related to type, and people not realizing that they're both speaking in a different, almost a different language, and they're both trusting things that, you know, the other type doesn't. They were just people not seeing the world the same way. And so personality type can really help you with that. So if you're in a situation where you're like, man, you know, I'm trying to get on the same wavelength as my spouse or my child or my mom or dad, and it's just not working, maybe you should look into personality type, look into taking a test, look into talking to someone, or just doing some research on your own and see the differences, and you'll just be able to really deepen your relationships with the people you care about. So I hope that this interview has given people an idea of how knowing about type can help you just to understand other people and better in your life.
So let's make it super practical. If we had to narrow it down to like one thing the listener should do in the next 14 days, what would that thing be?
Well, how about trying to find out their type, whether it's, you know, talking to an MBTI practitioner, going to personalityhacker.com and taking the test, or just, you know, going to your library and finding a book on personality type. Most libraries have one, or getting online and looking at it. I think, you know, if you have 14 days and you have the time to try to find out your personality type, it's definitely worth it. So I hope that's not repetitive from the last thing I just said, but yeah, I definitely think it's worth the time.
I definitely think it's worth the time too. It's been life-changing for me. And I think a lot of other people who are into personality type would say something similar.
I agree.
So on a totally different note, what's the best book you read recently? It could be something personality type related or something totally different.
Well, actually, the last book that I read was called Shadows of Type. And it's called The Shadows of Type, Psychological Type Through 7 Levels of Development. And it talks about the unhealthy versions of each type, the average versions, and then the healthy versions, you know, kind of where you want to be in your type development. And that's been a really good book because a lot of times when we read type descriptions online, we're talking about the best, you know, the optimal versions of each type. And we don't really go into the unhealthy levels and, you know, the weaknesses as much. And so this book helps me to kind of identify where my own weaknesses lie, where other types might be having difficulties. Sometimes when you're trying to type someone, it can be difficult because if they're operating at a unhealthy level, they may not match these type descriptions that are really positive because they're not operating at a healthy level. You know, the feeling type might not be really empathetic and conscientious, or the thinking type might be acting really illogically. So this book, The Shadows of Type, has really helped me to understand those different levels of health and how they manifest in different personality types.
And just a quick note to our listeners, we have an Amazon affiliate page set up, and you can go and find any of the books that we mentioned in this podcast on that page. And that address is amazon.com/shop/introvertdear. When you go to that page and make a purchase, you help support our podcast. So we thank you for that.
Susan, it's been awesome having you on the show today. Loads of great content and information just for the listener to think about, for me to think about, quite frankly. How can our listener learn more about you and what you do?
Well, you can always find me on my website, psychologyjunkie.com. That's one word. I've got lots of articles on personality type and lots of, you know, if you're feeling confused about your type and you want some more clarification, there's lots of articles there. You can also find me on Facebook. I think my Facebook URL is facebook.com/psychologyjunkie. And I love to hear from people. So if you feel like connecting with me on there and sending me an email or, you know, following along, and you can definitely reach me on there. I post lots of infographics and articles on there. So you can also reach me on Twitter. And I'm always terrible at remembering how to find myself on Twitter because I'm kind of new to it. But I think it's twitter.com/SusanStorm984. So those are three ways you can reach me.
Susan, it was really great talking with you today. Thanks for allowing us to kind of nerd out about personality type today. It was a lot of fun. So thanks.
It was a lot of fun for me too.
Great. That's awesome. I'm really glad to hear it. Thanks for being on our show.
Thanks for having me. It was a lot of fun. Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening to the Introvert Dear podcast. Make sure to subscribe so that you don't miss out on future episodes. If you enjoyed today's show, please consider leaving a review on iTunes. And remember, there's nothing wrong with being quiet and spending time alone.